Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we talk about the Detroit Lions' mandatory minicamp. This includes attendance by rookies and veterans. We'll hear from Coach Campbell as we look at the elements of the receiving core, a direction the offense might be trending toward. We'll talk defensive secondary and defensive line, both areas that should look quite different this fall. We'll also discuss the message Campbell had for his veteran players and the possibility of adding somebody else to the roster later this summer. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jason Gabenda with the Detroit Lions, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
Today, I'm joined by not just one, but two guests. They are both regular and familiar guests to you all. First up, we have Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Coach, good to have you here.
Great to be here, Matt, as usual.
Awesome. And then joining us both is James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him in his podcast called The Get Around Podcast. That drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here as well.
Good to be here as always. And with Jerry.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's three great minds, I think, is what it is.
All right. Now, well, before we get started, I want to share some really exciting news with the listeners about the podcast, right? Not the Same Old Lions podcast is now part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. And this is huge for us. We are excited about the new opportunities that this can bring, which can also help us get even better connections with more insight and more content for all you listeners out there. So that's our big news to share. We're really excited for that. And now, let's get into the new Lions news. Now, the Lions wrapped up mandatory minicamp today, and this is a required time for everyone to come together, and you get to see where everybody is at, and that's not going to happen again until training camp in late July. So we've got some great insights from Coach Dan Campbell from over this three-day period, and we're going to get a little bit more sound from the coach than we normally do, but he's got some great stuff. So let's start with pass catching. Now, we've given a lot of attention to the wide receiver core, and we're going to still monitor that. But I think we all are starting to recognize this is going to likely be a three-pronged approach: wide receiver, running back, and tight end. And so let's look at the tight end position more closely. Coach Campbell was asked about his approach to the position and that importance to the team.
The more versatile your tight ends are, mentally, but physically, they have to be able to do both. You have to have flexibility, physically to line up, to be able to block a point, come back on the backside. You got to be able to one-on-one pass block a defensive end. You're going to have to be able to handle the route tree. But the more you've got flexibility in those positions between the mental and the physical, I just feel like it opens up your offense. Man, it allows you to do so much more. The pass game, the pass protection game, and the run game, it just, to me, it gives you so many options. It's hard for a defense to plan for you.
So in addition to those insights by Campbell, he also mentioned Shane Zylstra is looking good coming back from last year's season-ending injury. So that is also encouraging. So on the roster, we know we've got Sam Laporta at the top up there. We've got Brock Wright back, James Mitchell. We also have Shane Zylstra back. We also have Sean McKeon and Parker Hesse on the roster as well. And so, Coach, let's start with you. What are you expecting from the tight end position?
Well, I mean, you already, you know, mentioned the two back from last year that were big time, and Zylstra coming back from the injury is going to be huge, you know, because he was having a pretty good camp last year. I know, I think he got injured early, but they, you know, they were looking towards him, you know, really helping the thing. I think the one that is going to be the odd man out unless he plays up to his potential is Mitchell. You know, I mean, he's it's third year, right? And you know, he's talented and you know, he's got great catching ability, but he's just not getting, I don't think he's not getting the blocking assignments down as well. And I think that's one of the ones that we hope that, you know, after a third year, you know, he steps up and becomes the tight end that he could be. And then, you know, it's going to put a lot more pressure on those other guys. You know, he's very skilled and could help us in the future. You know, with him and giving him some time to get back from his injury.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's going to be a lot more pressure on Mitchell this year to step up. James, what are you looking at from the tight end position? And we kind of alluded to this before. You think there's a chance the Lions carry four out of these six guys?
It could be. I the other day I was actually just kind of, just for the heck of it, I was going through and doing my own who I think is going to make the 53 man roster. And I only have them keeping three tight ends, but I also only came up with 52. So there's one other person who could make the team. So they could go with four. I mean, I don't necessarily see them going with four outside of injuries. But you never know. You know, Ben Johnson's offense has never been the same from season to season. He always changes something. So there's always a different look, always wrinkles. You get with Laporta. You know that they really like Wright and imagine that contract offer from the 49ers. So I think it's just a matter of the third one, whether it's Mitchell or Zylstra. You know, Zylstra is kind of just a glorified wide receiver so far. I mean, you know, not a guy who's a big time blocker or anything like that. So, you know, that makes that interesting whether he can be the third tight end or not in this offense.
So let me ask you guys, do you think, you know, the Lions did not sign a bigger name wide receiver this offseason, and Josh Reynolds left. So let me ask you guys, do you think that is the move they've made because they didn't find the right guy to bring in? They think a wide receiver on the roster is really going to step up? Or do you think they're going to look at the passing attack as more of a committee approach by not just the wide receiver position, but the tight end and the running back position?
I think a little bit of B and C in that, and those three options. I think that they think that Jameson Williams is going to make a step up this season. Antoine Green will be better. Donovan Peoples-Jones will have more time in the offense and should be better than last season. So you got those three that should be better. You know, Cleve Raymond, obviously they missed him in the playoffs last season too. So you get him back. And then the running backs are going to be just as big of a focal point in the passing game as they were before. The tight ends still as well. I think it's a little bit everything. They expect guys to get better and they expect more than just the wide receivers to be a big part of this passing game.
Coach, how about you? What are you seeing here?
Yeah, I agree with James on that. I think, the big thing is, you know, J-Mo, he's the guy right now. You know, he's a man on a mission. That's Campbell's quotes. I'm going to leave it at that. You know, he's been having some great things. So I think their big thing is that's what they're looking at, that he is going to be that number two guy. You know, you do have to replace Reynolds. You know, he had 57 of his 78 receptions over two full seasons, went for first downs. You know, those are huge numbers that, you know, we have to make up for. But we also can run the football with those two great running backs. And if you have two pass-catching tight ends, you know, you can go three tight end sets and two of the guys can catch and one can block. So, I think that's the biggest thing. I think they know J-Mo's going to step up. You know, training camp, of course, is always going to tell us whether they're going to go out and get somebody. But, I think Green is still a dark horse. And, you know, James talked about Peoples-Jones, who, we even talked about last time we got together, that he's going to be a guy that can fill in and get some things done. So, but I think it hinges on J-Mo. how he steps up, how he continues to do what he's doing right now. I know that those corners are beating him up pretty good, and he's making some great catches, consistent catches, as well as flying by people. So he had a great 3 days. So that's a great sign.
Well, and you guys talked about how the offense could look different from Ben Johnson year to year. Another position on the offense that might look very different is the fullback position. And we've brought this up because they currently don't have one on the roster. And Coach Campbell was asked if the Lions were phasing it out. And here was his response.
No, we like a fullback if it makes sense. And it's somebody we know can help us at that position and can dictate to the defense. You know, that's really what you're trying to do. You know, it kind of forces the defense into a look that you want usually. So, but we're not going to force it either. So, like right now, hey, Rodrigo's playing. You know, he's at the linebacker position competing. We've got a stable full of tight ends that we're working with a little bit. So that could be a tight end. It could be one of those guys. It could be a Liam McNeil. When the time comes, but we're not going to force it either. If the right guy shows or our right guy is here, we'll figure it out. If not, then we'll use a tight end.
So, guys, I heard him say they're not gone on the fullback idea. If they find the right guy, they'd bring him in. But the thing that stuck out to me is, did he say Aleem McNeil might get some reps on the offense?
Yes, he did. Which that is one scary to me. Did you see his eyes? I saw his highlight videos of him running a football. And give him the rock, boys. But again, you know, that's scary. I mean, that's scary. That's a big athletic guy who, you know, transformed his body into that situation. And you know, that's the fullback set. You know, Rod Riegel's been there before, and we go back to the tight end concept. You know, those guys can play H-back. They don't have to line up in the backfield and still be a fullback. So, you know, again, that could be your fourth tight end, or they're going to run with McNeil, which, hey, Stuhl was catching passes a couple years ago and last year. So, you know, I don't put it past Ben Johnson or Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm. They do like their guys that can play multiple positions. And Aleem did play some running back in high school. Yeah. It was just amazing as how big of a human being he is. But I mean, he's used to knocking into 300-pound guys on plays, you know, playing defensive end. So I think a 240-pound linebacker is going to be nothing for him.
I would not want to be the guy trying to tackle him. That's for sure.
No doubt.
I think another guy who could possibly play a little bit of fullback if he makes the team would be Steel Chambers, the free agent linebacker from Ohio State. He played running back a bit at Ohio State and is a pretty decent sized linebacker. So I could see him being somebody who could be a fullback in a pinch too.
Yeah, that's a great call on that one. You know, if he can play special teams and play fullback, he's got a chance to be that 53rd guy you were talking about, James.
Well, and again, we look at that versatility. You know, if it comes back to even using a tight end in there, if they don't have a true fullback, or bringing one of those linebackers or defenders over, we're talking about versatility here again, maybe, right? I mean, the tight end helping with the fullback. I mean, all three phases helping with the receiving. This is almost like that secondary flexibility, but they're doing it on the offense. I mean, we have Jameson Williams running the ball. We have running backs catching the ball. They call Khalif Raymond the Swiss Army knife. It's like they're taking that concept from the secondary and applying it to the offense now.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we didn't talk about the kid from Utah either. You know, he's another one that, you know, the safety, running back, can he play that? Yeah, they haven't mentioned it this time, but they talked about it before, I think, on the rookie mini camp. So, you know, they're the depth is looking pretty good for the Lions.
Speaking of that flexibility, let's jump over to the other side of the ball. The secondary is an area that's really up in the air right now with the starting positions. Coach Campbell was asked about it. Here's what he had to say about it being a wide open fight right now.
It's a great place to be in. It's a great place to be in. We have so many options right now, so much competitiveness. AG and we're talking about it again. AG and I were the other day, and Brad and I are talking about it every evening. I mean, it's like, I mean, you know, the talent level, the competitiveness, the versatility. Like, honestly, we have no idea who our starting lineup's going to be right now, and it's exciting. It's so good. Like, there's no telling who's going to be our outside corners, who's going to be our nickel, who's going to be our safeties. I mean, this thing is wide open across the board. And it's going to be great to let these guys compete and just go after it and see who goes and is going to be the most reliable guys for us, most dependable. So it's exciting.
Guys, many people presume Davis and Arnold are going to be on the outside. But with so many pieces, it's actually got to be somewhat unknown to see how it's all going to play out. James, what are your thoughts on that right now?
And it's a great position to be in. You know, the defensive coordinators are going to have to guess which corners are going to be on the field from play to play and, you know, and have to adjust to that. You know, you can put Rake Straw at the nickelback, then that allows you to move Branch back to safety if you need to, or play an extra dime guy. You know, they have so many ways that they can mix and match in the secondary now, that it's just going to be interesting to see what Aaron Glenn can come up with to play chess with those guys.
Now, this has arguably been the most talented crew that Aaron Glenn has had going into an off season with all of these additions. Last year, there was quite a bit of talent. We had some injuries and things happen, but coach, we probably shouldn't be concerned that they don't know who the exact starters are due to the influx of talent, but talk about what you see here with all these additional pieces.
James said the same thing. I mean, they're going to be, Glenn's going to have it at his hand, his disposal in his hands, that he can pick anybody he wants to and go certain packages in certain situations. And I'm sure they're going to be in a situation where some of these guys are going to start by what personnel they're going against in the offense, whether it's a bigger wide receiver or smaller wide receiver, quicker wide receiver. You know, they're going to be in great shape to be able to man up those guys. He wants to play man coverage. We know that. That room last year, that was one of the scariest rooms on the team, could become one of the best. So, you know, the depth in that is going to be just fun to watch. And I think it's going to be an offensive coordinator nightmare, because they're going to have to figure out who the Lions are going to put on the field every week to defend them. And, you know, that takes time when you got to break down film on seven different guys that can play defensive back, safety, nickel, and corner. You know,
coach, you said it's going to take time for other teams to break down the film on the Lions with all these different looks. Let me ask you this, though. With the Lions getting so many new players in, what's it going to take for them to gel as a secondary and learn to work together and kind of trust each other and feel the vibe from each other?
Baby step. You know, what I'm saying by that is, like Branch last year, you know, the one game they only used Branch as nickel and they only brought him in certain packages. Glenn did a great job of taking guys and taking their strength and only using their strength in certain situations, not putting everything on their plate. With the veteran corners coming in, you can put a ton of stuff on their plate because they've experienced everything. And with the younger guys coming in, they're going to experience things week in and week out. And, you know, training camp's going to be huge for them, but they're not going to put Arnold in there and say, you're in every play back, you know, corner, unless he, you know, and Rick Estrella, the same thing. I think James had mentioned him being in the slot corner. And, you know, now you got Branch, who's going to be a second year guy, where you can move him around because he's experienced in defense. So I think I'm going to say it again, baby steps. They're going to take these guys and put them in and they're going to take their strengths and they're going to use their strengths and they're going to coach up their weaknesses until they're every down players. So I think it's what a great thing for Aaron Glenn and the Detroit staff to be dealing with right now is all of these integral pieces that are going to make this one. I think could be one of the best defenses in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they got those corners, if they're doing what Aaron Glenn wants, which is play man defense, they don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing. You just stick to your guy.
For sure. Point. Now, James, is there a newcomer that you are high on that you're like, you know, I think this guy might emerge and be one of the more impactful guys in the secondary? And then you also have some thoughts on the flexibility on the linebacker and defensive line. I'd love to hear that as well.
I mean, I think Arnold obviously is the guy who I think you could see stepping in and eventually becoming a shutdown number one type of corner. I mean, I think Derek Barnes gave him the nickname Sub-Zero already. In camp so far, they've been using Barnes as an outside rusher at linebacker, which is kind of more what he did at Purdue than what they've had him do with the Lions, which is kind of play more in the middle. And Jack Campbell has had, you know, picked off Jared Goff twice in camp in the same day. That was something we really didn't see out of Campbell last year. He kind of at times struggled in pass coverage a little bit. So if he shores that up, I mean, that linebacking crew gets even more dangerous.
Coach, how about you? Any thoughts on the linebacking crew before we move up to the defensive line?
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's one of the things they had said, that, you know, all the linebackers are able to play all three positions, which is scary. And then, you know, because, and, you know, we still have Maven that came in and played great for us last year. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, I'll bring up Betts again, the kid from the CFL. They're dropping him into pass coverage. I mean, Campbell said that he can run and he's smart. And those are things that are, you know, intriguing, and we still got Houston. So, I mean, again, those are slash outside DNs, but they're also going to drop back into coverage. So it's going to be fun.
Coach, you're exactly right. Campbell was really excited about what they're seeing out of Matthew Betts. He said, there's more versatility to this guy than Campbell said he even thought he realized. And you brought it up about them dropping him back into coverage a little bit. And so this could add another element. And he's got some good hips for a big guy, he said, and he can run. And he's smart and versatile and probably a special teams guy as well. But you guys, these aren't the only guys that could be contributing more. We might be seeing something different out of Josh Pascal and Levi Onwuzurike. Coach Campbell had this to say about both of these players.
I just want to be careful because we're not in pads, okay? I just want to reiterate that. But Levi is having a really good spring. Levi, Pascal is too, but Levi, because of where he's come from and all he's had to deal with, I mean, this guy just continued, he's continued to rehab, he's continued to train his body and work, you know, he's put on weight. Because, you know, his back can handle it now. We got him through last year to where he's able to bank some reps. And he's having a really good spring, okay? And so I like where both of those players are at right now.
So, Coach, let's start with you. If Pascal and Onwuzurike can get healthy, stay healthy, and make the impact that Brad Holmes thought he could get out of them when he drafted them, what does this mean for that defensive line?
Oh, yeah. You know, Onwuzurike's up to 300 pounds now. His back is healthy. He's being able to, you know, the guy's able to, you know, Levi's able to practice and build his body up like you want to. You know, he's played at 280 last year, 285 last year. You know, and both those guys are pretty versatile where they can play that outside big DN or they can move inside a little bit to create some more depth. So, you know, that's, again, those are huge pieces that, you know, as we continue to look at this 53 man roster that's coming up, I keep calling 52 because James said we haven't found that 53rd yet. But, you know, as you look at these guys and you start going, you go, oh, you know, the versatility, the different things, the different packages we can put in. And then that, which, you know, also gives, you know, Hutch some blows. He's not going full out. And you know, and then the guy from the, from Minnesota. Oh my God.
I drew Davenport.
Thank you, Davenport. So, but to hear Pascal and Levi is huge for us because those are both guys that, especially with Levi, you know, with the year he had 2 years ago, I think it was, correct? Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago. So looking forward to those guys for sure.
James, anything you want to weigh on here on the defensive line?
Yeah, it's kind of like every other position on defense is that they have so many guys that they can move around. You know, I mean, you throw Kaminsky in there, who's somebody who's you know a big end who can play on the outside and set the edge on run plays and can move inside on pass plays and give you a little bit of pressure there up the middle too. You know, and then they've got Wingo, who they kind of indicated that they think is more of a defensive end than a tackle. So, which is interesting because everybody coming out of the draft thought he was a defensive tackle, but apparently Brad Holmes looked at his tape when he was an end and really liked what he did there and thought it was better than what he did at tackle. So, you know, this defensive line is going to be able to mix and match too. And, you know, you never know who's going to be at what spot other than that, Hutchinson is probably going to be coming after your quarterback.
Good point.
Now, guys, are there any other positions you wanted to talk about before we move into some of the other ideas that Campbell shared at his press conference the last couple of days?
You know, Houston's not mentioned. The cool thing is when now that we're talking about our defense, all of a sudden we're naming 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 players, you know, guys that, man, I can't wait till they get to camp. I can't wait for that first, you know, preseason game to see them turn these guys loose. And then you're going to, you know, it's going to be when they cut to the 53 man roster, there's the three of us are going to be, you know, sad for some of these guys because they're guys that we love, you know, we're going, oh my God. But again, then we're looking at going, man, we must be really good. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. And like he said, the competition, now the competition is deep and you better produce during practices and OTAs and all those things to make this roster, because it's going to be a tough one to land on.
How about you, James?
I thought it was interesting. One of the things that David Montgomery said when he said that they're going to take the run game, quote, up a notch. And I was like, how do you do that from being the first team in NFL history to have two running backs with over 1,000 total scrimmage yards and 10 touchdowns and to keep it today, get up a notch. So that was just an interesting thing I saw. And then coming to camp with shirts that said Detroit track team on them. I thought it was just pretty funny.
I really think the Lions are changing the game right now when it comes to these sub packages, these versatility, these mixing. Like you said, Coach, it's going to be baby steps. The rookie guys won't move around as much, but the guys with more experience who can handle it are going to do that. And we're seeing that in the secondary talk right now. Having those veterans come in is going to help there. I really think our passing attack, our offense in general, is going to be very, I don't want to say unorthodox, but it's going to be the next leap. I think it's going to be the model that teams are going to want to go to. I think back when the Rams had Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and Marshall Faulk, and they were the greatest show on turf or whatever. They changed things. I think we're going to see out of the Lions a changing, because we're going to use the tight ends and the wide receivers and the running backs, and they're going to do each other's jobs. Receivers are going to be running backs. Tight ends are going to be receivers. Tight ends are going to be running backs. Running backs are going to be receivers. I guess it goes back to what Brad Holmes said. They're all just offensive weapons.
Yeah. Matchup nightmare for a defense, for sure.
As far as injuries goes, there are a few guys that have been banged up a little bit. Nothing is serious with anybody. We're way far out from even the start of training camp. So there's good news there. Now, before the veterans left, Coach Campbell had this message to them, as it is their last day until camp.
Yeah, I think just remember what are we playing for? You know, I want just each individual, you know, what do you want? Like, what do you want out of this year? What do you want it to look like when we're sitting here and it's February? Like, where is your mind? And so think about that, and let's work backwards from there. That'll be the message.
Now, in addition to Coach Campbell delivering that message, one of the reporters asked Coach Campbell about players being in contract years and if he thought that was motivation for some of the players. And I absolutely love Dan Campbell's response. He said, I sure hope not. I'm paraphrasing. But the type of players the Lions are bringing in are not the guys that are being motivated by a contract year. They're motivated because they're a football player. So, James, let's start with you. What are your takeaways from Campbell's comments?
Yeah, I mean, they've definitely targeted a certain type of player. And, you know, that's a player that's a hard worker and has a great work ethic that's willing to study, and all that. And, you know, some of the guys that they brought in were guys that I think it was Vaki who came in when they did his second interview with him. And he brought in like a playbook, basically, that he had made up of him studying the Lions offense, like to their second meeting that they had with him. And like they were kind of blown away by him and then ended up drafting him. But yeah, that's just the kind of player that they're bringing in, is guys who love to eat, breathe, and just live football.
You know, and I agree with James on that too. And I think that's the thing is, you know, like Campbell said, he wants the full enchilada, you know, and I think that's what, you know, I think these guys that the veterans that came in that they picked up in free agent and stuff like that, I think are guys, you know, Davenport's trying to, you know, prove himself again. but I think they also are coming to the Detroit Lions because they want to be in this camp. They want to be part of this great city. They want to be part of this. They want to be part of history. And I think that's a lot of their beliefs and their pays. You know, we're going to make the money. You know, we get paid a pretty good, decent amount. But you know, putting that ring on and playing in the Super Bowl and coming out in front of that, the greatest fans in the NFL, is going to take over for most of that. And right now, you better produce to make the club. And so, you know, we have to look at what happened this offseason, what we did with our three veterans and the three guys we signed the big contracts, and they know they're looking at it going, they're going to take care of us if we take care of them. So that's a good point.
Yeah. I think those contracts speak volumes, and they're huge because it shows that the Lions are backing up all their talk with their actions on this, and it's motivation for multiple reasons. One, those are three of the hardest working guys on this team, and it shows the effort you put in, which elevates you, gets rewarded. And so that you don't have to look any further than that. And you know, these three guys are going to continue to lead by example. And anyone that's worked anywhere knows that that is key to a successful organization, is that optimism and that positivity. Now, you can't be falsely positive, but you have to be optimistic. You have to be looking for solutions. You've got to be proactive, and you've got to be looking for success. And so that's exactly what they did with these contracts, Coach. You're exactly right. They was so big to get them done now and not wait and see what happens at the end of the year or halfway through the year. Because Coach Campbell even said, these players, they earned it these last 3 years, and it's nice to see them get rewarded.
For sure.
Now, guys, there could be more roster moves coming because the Lions rarely sit still. And Coach Campbell was asked, are the Lions looking to make any more moves or add anybody this summer? Here's what he had to say.
Brad and I will talk about that, before next week, you know, sometimes in the middle of next week, just to make sure really depth, you know, if anything, like depth-wise, because you want to know you've got competition in every area, but, you know, enough to where, man, you can battle with the twos and threes and that'll kind of be the conversation, But, you know, right now, I don't feel like we feel pressed on anything.
Now, you guys, they said they don't feel pressed, that they have to sign anybody anywhere. But from previous conversations, all three of us, I got to believe we still think safety is the biggest vulnerability here. We like our starters, but we don't see a lot of depth. Is there anything you'd like to add to that? Is there anything you see with the safety position or a different position that you're like, you know, if the Lions could bring in a position to add to the roster in June or July, what position would it be?
I agree with you on the safety thing, but I think Joseph is kind of stepped up and doing some things. He's got a year under his belt. Wide receiver, we're saying, oh my God, do we have another wide receiver? Is J-Mo going to ask? We have enough money to play games, and we have money to pick up somebody who's been really going into that 53-man roster. I don't see them making any moves prior to training camp. Especially from what we're hearing in the press conferences and stuff on how these last 3 days went. Again, now we get an injury here, an injury there. I think that's when they're going to make their moves. But, you know, we know it. They stuck to their guns last year. What we have in camp is what we believe in. And I don't see them messing up the locker room at any instance unless it's a huge necessity. We have three great nickel corners and outside corners and inside corners and all that stuff and can play man coverage. Who cares about safety? We just need somebody to hit somebody.
Yeah, I agree. If it's going to be anywhere, you know, the thing that stands out would be safety. But, Joseph, like Jerry said, has been having a pretty good camp from all accounts. And CJ Moore adds another guy with experience back there at safety too on the bench. So, I think that they've sort of address that. I mean, you know, if a Quandre Diggs wants to come to the Lions for like the league minimum or something, they probably wouldn't say no. I don't know that they're going to go out and spend money either. They've got other guys that they need to sign to extensions, and they could just use that money for that.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, let me talk about special teams here for a moment. Talking about who's having a good camp. Michael Badgley is apparently having a pretty good camp and showing a little bit more range. So, you know, he's probably the leading guy to be the kicker. Now, we also have our draft pick, and we have everybody's favorite Michigan Panther kicker as well. The Michigan Panthers are in action. The league is still going on for, I believe, about 12 more days. After that point, players can be contacted. It'll be interesting to see if the Lions go and make a play or if they stay with what they have. No matter what, I feel good about our kicking situation. I'm okay if we go into the season with Mike Badgley at this point, but I would love to bring in Bates and see what he can do as well.
Yeah, Bates would be interesting. I mean, some of the shine has come off of him a little bit in the last few weeks where he's been missing some kicks and stuff, but I still think that would be somebody to bring in for competition at least and give him a look.
For sure on that. You definitely have to get three guys in there. And, we got to find the one that's going to carry us. We got to find the one that can make a 62-yard field goal to win a game for us. Badgley's worked on his leg strength and it's shown in camp. And, anytime those guys improve, that's when the Lions get happy. Hell, we're going for it on fourth down 80% of the time.
Well, and the other thing, too, I like about Badgley is he has experience, and you can't teach experience. And so, he's played in some big games for us. He's hit game winners for us. So I think that's likely to be the guy who takes that position. But time will tell, and competition's always a good thing. You guys, it's a long ways away. We have not seen it happen from an NFL team yet, but I want to just briefly talk about the new kickoff because this is going to be radically different. This is going to be the biggest change we've seen in the NFL. I don't know since when, because it's going to change strategy. There's going to be so many different approaches, and that strategy is going to probably change five different times during the season. I've heard some teams talking how they don't even know if they're going to use a traditional kicker to kick the ball because they got to play defense too. And do you want to expose your kicker to potentially trying to make a tackle with this different format? Coach, I'll start with you. Have you seen much of this from the other league that was running it? Do you have any thoughts? Have you heard anything coming out of camps out of it? Because all I do know is this, the Detroit Lions have told people they can't talk about it because the right. Lions are trying some stuff and they're trying to keep it under wraps.
And I think the biggest thing is that your depth pieces are, when we went into the draft, we did things like that. We're looking for these guys that can excel, whether they're playing, defense or who knows, maybe there's some offensive guys out there. Thing is, there's going to be a lot of scheming going on to breaking a game open. So it'll be interesting to see how, the preseason, those three games are going to be the big test for that. Probably more than anything, you may see more of the guys that would normally not play in preseason. I believe you're going to see more of those guys playing in preseason, maybe just on the kickoff stuff, just for the coverage purposes. So, it's going to be interesting and special teams guys are, they've been set in their ways for years and now they got to tweak some things. So that it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Well, that's exactly right, because they didn't practice this in high school. They didn't practice this in college. So they don't have muscle memory on this play. They got to learn the rules for the play. It's got to kick in a certain spot. You can't, it's like tagging up in a baseball game. You can't move until the ball is in the guy's hands. So James, what are your thoughts? Any takeaways on this new look?
I think it's going to result in a different roster construction, at least the bottom of your roster. These, more people are going to have to be able to play special teams than before, I think, because it's not like you can, I think more people are going to have to be able to play special teams and play a role on defense rather, than before where you just had two or three guys who were dedicated just to special teams. I think it may be even more now. And you're going to have guys that can cross train in those things. And the other interesting thing was last year in the XFL, when they used this, the last time they used this was the USFL. There was one kickoff return for a touchdown the whole season. And it was on a trick play. It was on a reverse and a trick play. And we know that the Lions love doing that kind of stuff.
For sure. Yes, they do. And again, like you guys have said, I think that's going to make the preseason the most exciting preseason we've probably seen in years is people are going to want to see kickoffs and see what it looks like and what teams do. And then I guarantee you every special teams coach is going to watch everybody's film from every game, just kind of see what they did and try and get ideas.
Bigger scouting reports, that's for sure.
Guys, anything else you want to bring up? Anything we haven't talked about before we wrap up and get out of here?
Just going to be a long summer waiting for that, but hopefully the weather's right so we can at least spend some time outside and not sweat over, oh my God, how good are we going to be?
James, anything from you?
I think I'm all good.
It wraps up mandatory mini camp for the Detroit Lions. Now, they've got three more one-day sessions of OTAs next week. Those are not mandatory. And again, we said this in the last show, we are entering that slow period. And now after this, it does get really slow. So if anything comes up, we will get back together. We'll put a show together. But otherwise, it gives us that rest, that little relaxation, so we can appreciate it when it comes back here at the end of July, early August. So enjoy the warm Michigan weather. Enjoy the Michigan summer, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Jerry, James, thank you both for being here. Folks, you can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show. Please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.